Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And if you're calling in from South Carolina wondering what to do with your taxes for the Mega Millions card that you picked up at that little gas station in South Carolina, then Andrew is happy to answer that question, right?
Very happy.
Yeah, all right.
We'll answer
after
that
you
question.
Sign a contract.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. So how are you doing this morning?
Good, Ben. How are you?
All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, you know, last week we left with the line, sometimes it's just best to pay the tax.
Yes.
So we had our story last week involving the pastor, and the question in that particular case was whether or not the parishioner's money in the blue envelopes was a gift.
His envelope system that he set up.
Was a gift to the pastor or whether it was income to the pastor. And we mentioned that, you know, he told everyone, look, if you put money in the blue envelopes, you're not going to get the tax deduction. Mm-hmm. And that will just be treated as a gift to me for, you know, my eloquent words at the pulpit. And, you know, if you put money in the white envelope.
Quarter of $1 million or
exactly. You put money in the white envelope, then that will get you a tax deduction. And of course, we'll treat that as income. And we said the disparity between the blue versus the white envelopes, the blue envelopes had $250,000, like you said, Ben. The white envelopes had about $40,000 of income, and the IRS took a look at it and goes, nope, the blue envelope money is going to be income. He goes to tax court and tries to fight it.
Yeah.
And guess what?
He didn't.
Still
he
income.
Yep.
And then when he said, well, wait a minute here, this is kind of an iffy issue. I want my penalties abated. The IRS said, Tough, and no go. You didn't act like a reasonable person in not reporting that money in the blue envelopes as income.
When he decides to challenge that, does the penalty freeze at that point? Is it toll? You know,
no.
So the penalties keep adding on even during the challenge period.
Correct. Yeah, okay. You can go ahead and pay the tax. So some people will go ahead and pay the tax and say, I want to set my interest and penalties at that point in time. And you know, and then in the event that you win, you can get refunded.
Okay, gotcha.
So you can do that. That's a potential option for you to do that. But absent that, then your penalties and interest will continue to click on. So, so that's an option. But today I wanted to kind of flip the script on and say, you know, that was a specific example where I thought, you know, my advice would have been pay the tax. Now what happens if there's a discrepancy? So I read a story this past week, where a CPA had filed for an extension for someone. And as we say, extensions are extensions to file, not extensions to pay. And so what you do, Ben, is you look at that particular time in April and you say, okay, this is what I think I'm going to owe.
Right.
And you write a check to the service. And a lot of times it's based upon what you did last year. If you've had any changes to your return, a lot of times the CPA can kind of give you an estimate about what those
good
changes.
Good faith estimate.
That's exactly right. Good faith estimate, because anything that you pay after that deadline is going to be subject to the failure to pay penalty. So basically in this particular situation, we had an extension to file, paid what he thought he should owe by April 17th in this particular regard. And then the return got prepared just before October 15th. And it turns out that the individual just didn't quite pay enough. So they were off on their estimates just a little bit, and he owed a little bit of money. And so the CPA said, okay, look, we got to file this return. We'll meet the deadline, but let's go ahead and set up a direct debit payment to the IRS. And so they set the direct debit payment up. They file the return. Success. You get your little confirmation telling you that the return's been accepted. And then lo and behold, a few weeks later, the taxpayer got a CP-14 notice, which a CP-14 notice is basically just saying, hey, you owe tax. And it had the amount on there that he thought he had direct debited to the IRS.
Right.
And so here he is staring at a tax bill, and he goes, why in the world am I getting this? You know, I thought I paid this.
He should have some evidence of that, though.
Exactly. So he's got a CP-14 notice going, why did I get this? And of course he goes back to CPA and says, you forgot to, you know, put my banking information on there and told them to take the money. And they said, no, I did. I put your banking information on there. Everything should be good to go. I'm not sure why there's this discrepancy. You know, but Ben, too oftentimes, a knee-jerk reaction for a taxpayer when they get something from the IRS
right.
and it's a bill is to do what? If they can afford it.
Pay it.
Pay it.
Yeah.
Pay it. You know, this is a prime example where you have to ask one of the first questions that I ask any person that comes mm-hmm. in our office, Ben, is do you think you owe the tax?
Right.
Okay? And the answer in this regard would be, this gentleman would go, no, I don't think I owe the tax because I thought I paid the tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, what does the CPA do in this particular regard? He goes and gets the individual's tax account transcript. So for mm-hmm. all of our listeners out there, it's not too surprising that the IRS would keep a running ledger year by year of what mm-hmm. you owe and what you pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this particular regard, when he went and got the IRS tax account transcripts, it showed that he owed zero. He had a zero balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so what had happened in this particular regard? Well,
something crossed in the night.
That's exactly right. We had a little cross there.
Mm-hmm.
We had an example where a bill went out, although money was already in the coffers.
Right.
So this was just a complete mix-up. But, you know, this is an example where last week I said sometimes best just pay the tax. But in this particular regard, when you get a bill mm-hmm. and you think you don't owe the tax, you know, there's investigation that needs to take place to see what the issue is.
Right. The question, I think it's a two a subtle difference there, but you think you don't owe it or you think you paid it.
Yes.
So in this case, he thought he paid it.
Exactly.
But he should have a bank record that says it came out.
Yeah. But even that, you know, Ben, it's one of those things when you get that letter from the IRS.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The nerves.
Yeah.
The nerves
right.
start coming up. And it's yeah. like, well, wait a second. Something's wrong. Something mm-hmm. went wrong. You know, let's figure this out. But, you know, the good news is for this particular taxpayer is he went back to his tax professional
mm-hmm.
and they worked it out and figured
right.
out what the problem was rather than just, oh, my gosh, here's a bill from the IRS. Let me write that check so quickly so I can get them off my back as quickly as possible.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I think this is the lesson that I always have is when someone comes in to seize me and there's been some type of tax assessment or there's some type of discrepancy like we have here. I mean, my number one question is, as I said before, is do you think you owe the tax? And that can be a yes or a no. In this
mm-hmm.
particular case, the guy would say, no, I don't think I owe the tax because I think I've paid the tax. But there's sometimes where it's a little bit dicey because I have people come in there and go, well, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Well, then the question becomes, okay, well, let's see if we can figure that out and whether or not you owe the tax. And it may be that you owe part of the tax, but not all of the tax.
Is that tax ledger available for anyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody can get their tax transcripts to see, you know, where they currently stand with the IRS for any given year.
Okay.
So that's certainly available at any point in time.
So that would be part of what you would use if you're
yes.
trying to figure that out.
Exactly. So, you know, someone comes in and goes, I'm not quite sure where I stand.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, especially those individuals who've had substitute for returns filed for them where the IRS has just used that 1099 and W-2 data to file their return for them, they honestly don't have a clue
mm-hmm.
with how much money they actually do, in fact, owe to the IRS. And the only way to go and get that is to get their account transcripts because before we can put together a plan, Ben, you know, number one is we got to know how much do you owe?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can say, okay, now here's our amount that they say that we owe. Now, how can we combat that? And a lot of times, if it's a substitute for return issue, file.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's put together a return. You know, did you have some deductions that we can include to get this number down a little bit? A lot of times with 1099s, as you know, the answer is yes.
Right.
Now records may be spotty, but you can recreate records.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to credit card and bank statements and figure out, you know, what deductions you may have. And so the answer, you know, do I think I owe the tax can be a little complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you do believe that you owe some of the tax, the answer is can we mitigate that? You know, and I mentioned one way to do that on a substitute for return is, you know, look to see if there's deductions that are out there. Another thing is, can we shift income from one year to another year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there losses that we can utilize more in this year that maybe you didn't take advantage of? You know, things like that to get that tax figure down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the final thing is that if you owe the tax, you know, how do you pay the tax?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned several options for our listeners over the years. You know, number one is if you can afford to pay it, you know, great. Write you a check.
Right.
Do
yeah.
a direct debit payment to the IRS. You know, if you can't afford to pay it, you know, there's installment agreements that are out there. And, you know, the minute that you can get into an installment agreement, you're in a status with the IRS at that particular time, and they will stop those, you know, collection actions against you. So it's important. But then sometimes the number is so daunting, Ben, that a full pay installment agreement is just too much for taxpayers to afford. And so you may be looking at a partial pay installment agreement, which that may include us having to present some financial data to the IRS and show them, look, this is what this individual can afford based upon their income and their expenses.
Right.
And we've mentioned that there, the expenses, there's what's called the national standards. There are these allowable numbers that are out there that the service says, we believe that these are kind of, you know, set numbers for food, for shelter, for transportation. There's set numbers out there that you can take advantage of and utilize when you're trying to set up an installment agreement to try to get the best you can get. Because, you know, my advice a lot of times has been to taxpayers who owe is set up the minimum installment agreement you can set up, because you've got to be able to make that minimum payment every month, because you don't want to get jeopardized in your installment agreement status, and you do get jeopardized if you miss that payment. So make sure you can meet that minimum payment, and guess what? You can always pay extra. You can always put extra money on top of those minimum installment agreements in order to pay that tax off sooner.
Just like any other loan.
Exactly. But the minute that you can't make that minimum payment, you're jeopardized on that status, and then you may find yourself subject to lien and levy type actions.
If you want to find out more about how to take care of your tax situation, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins and Andrew Foster there. You can reach him at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. You can call for the appointment, too, at 252-726-9050 for Harvell & Collins, online at harvellandcollins.com. We'll